Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, we're going to go to Milwaukee in Wisconsin now, to the Republican Party convention, which last night formally endorsed Donald Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance as the presidential ticket to face voters in November. Greg Swenson of Republicans Overseas is in Milwaukee and he joins us now. Good morning again, Greg.
Good morning, Claire.
So Donald Trump arrived at the arena to a hero's welcome. We played a bit of it before. It was an extraordinary moment. Do you feel the Republicans have the next 4 years in the bag?
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, I haven't been very good at predictions lately, especially the 22 red wave. But it's looking really good. The party's really energized. You've had some, I think the party, for the most part, the factions have rallied around them. You'll see Nikki Haley speaking tonight, Ron DeSantis as well. So, you know, the two leading candidates that were opposed to Trump in the nomination process. So, yeah, it feels good. And at this time, you know, he's up three points in the national polls, 4 points with the other candidates included. And that's compared to 16, where he was down 4 points to Mrs. Clinton. And in 20, he was down 7 points at this time to Biden. So it's looking really good. And the last thing is Pennsylvania, which is a state that Biden has to win. Trump is up 5 points, and that's before the assassination attempt on Saturday.
We had this conversation with Michael Schmidt a little earlier on, where he said that even though it may just be minor gains in the wake of the assassination attempt, that's all Donald Trump needed really to push him over the edge. Do you agree?
I do agree, because he was, you know, he was doing so well before, and all those numbers that I rattled off are pre-assassination attempt. So, yeah, I don't think he needs much, although, you know, he could get a bump from the convention as well. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that he's got it 100% wrapped up. I mean, this is still a very close election, and there's three critical states, and that's why I thought the J.D. Vance pick was brilliant, because he's from Ohio, and Ohio borders Pennsylvania and Michigan, and then Wisconsin is one state over. So he's really a Rust Belt person.
Yeah, I'm really interested to know how you feel about J.D. Vance and whether you trust him. I mean, here's a man who called your presidential candidate an idiot and reprehensible and other things in 2016. Do you trust him?
Yeah, I think I definitely do, because he's been very candid. And, you know, about how he made a mistake and he didn't really know Donald Trump back then. And then also that President Trump surprised him and a lot of us and governed quite conservatively, which, you know, we conservatives were very suspicious of President Trump when he won. And I'll include myself in that. I was very much a critic of Trump and didn't vote for him in the primaries in 16. Nor did I vote for him in the primaries in 20 either. But, you know, I thought there might be better candidates. But he's impressed J.D. Vance. And look,
J.D. Vance knows what side his bread is buttered on. And we know one thing about him. He's hugely ambitious. And if you want to be ambitious in Republican politics at the moment, you've got to get behind Donald Trump.
And that is true, and we've seen that this year as a lot of Republicans rallied around him because they just figured he's the winner, right?
Yeah.
And so there's some merits to that. And I think, you know, when he kind of changed his view on Trump, it was in 2019, long before he ran for the Senate. And, you know, because remember, he had Trump's endorsement in the Senate primaries in 22. So this was earlier, you know, 3 years earlier, and it's because of the Trump outcomes, really. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us were convinced by the way he governed, because not only because of his policies, but of the outcomes from those policies, which was poverty reduction and wage increases for Main Street.
But J.D. Vance, when he was asked about what happened on January 6th in 2021, he said that he would not have certified the election of Joe Biden, as Mike Pence did. And as Mike Pence was compelled to do by the U.S. Constitution. So you've got your party endorsing a vice president who is more loyal to one person than he is to the American Constitution.
Look, there's flaws, right? I mean, I also think that J.D. doesn't really bring in a different lane in the party. He might do very well in the Midwest, and that's important. I get it. He's not going to do well with like the suburban vote that, you know, that you know, I don't think he has a particular appeal. He's definitely appealing to the base. And I think that was a mistake, you know, what he said about Jan 6. I think, you know, we learned this in 2022 that the election denial thing was an electoral loser later. And so this time around, you know, perhaps, you know, he'll dial that down. But if you look at the Senate candidates and most of the House candidates right now from the Republican side, you know, no one's really running on that election 2020 thing. It just, you know, whether you believe it or not, it's just not an electoral winner.
So they'll say anything. They'll say anything to maintain the support base. That's not an attractive quality to have, and somebody who's going to lead the United States for the next 4 years.
Or you could argue he's just terribly blatantly honest. And even when President Trump gets himself in trouble with comments that are unfiltered, a lot of times he's right, or it turns out to be right later, you know. And even though it doesn't sound polite, it's what people are thinking. And so I think JD is, on many measures, he's almost too honest for a politician.
I wonder as well, Greg, how you feel about this mantra now that has been adopted by Donald Trump's supporters of fight, 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 the words that he uttered when he stood up in Pennsylvania. I mean, he did ask for the country to be united, to make American politics a less violent arena. That doesn't sit well with that ambition.
Yeah, I think that, you know, his first reaction after he was injured, I mean, you know, that's just first reaction. And I think when he says fight, he doesn't mean like take it to the streets and start breaking store windows. You know, he was just saying we have to fight back the push from the left. I mean, that's just politics and that's just electioneering. But I was impressed with, you know, of course I was impressed with how he handled himself after he was shot. But more importantly, I thought the crowd, he wanted to communicate to the crowd that he was okay. And I thought the crowd behaved extremely well. There was no anger. There was, you know, obviously there was shock. And then, of course, when it looked like he was okay, there was relief. But, you know, I think that saying fight, fight, fight is by no means anything that would indicate, you know, literally fighting, right? But I do think, I would agree with you, Claire, I think he has openly stated that he's rewriting his speech for Thursday. And I do think you'll see an even more dialed down attitude. He's been very much more disciplined this campaign than in the last two. But I think you'll see even more of that, and I think you'll see much more of a unifying message, you know, versus what you probably saw in 2016 and 20.
That's because he feels now that he's already won.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some merit to that, but it's still very close. So why would you annoy half the country? You know, half the country doesn't like him, and so I think he'll need every vote. So I think a unifying message and making people feel that they can cross over and vote for him, even if you don't like him, you can still understand that, you know, we had peace and prosperity in 2019 and 20, and we don't really have that now. So I think that's what, you know, people vote with their pocketbooks. I think it's, you know, he's winning on the issues. It's not a personality race anymore. I think he wins on the issues, and I think it's given people almost permission to vote for him.
Greg, thanks for joining us once again from the Republican Party convention. Greg Swenson of Republicans Overseas. Physicist Dr. Shane Bergen will be here after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.